If you feel completely overwhelmed and uncomfortable in your kitchen, managing a home, you just feel like you are in a motherhood role and you don't feel cut out for a motherhood role, and I can in some way, shape, or form teach you something that makes that easier, that is my joy. And so I have to kind of remember that's who I'm trying to serve, and that when someone's like, I already knew that, to be like, okay, then this wasn't for you.
Being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we're going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast. All right, it's really happening. Our dream is reality, Lauren.
It's come to fruition.
It's true. We had Kate Strickler, better known as Naptime Kitchen, on the podcast. Kate, how are you?
I'm good. You know, it is May, which I'm sure y'all can relate to. But I have never had May like this. And I don't know if it's because of the range of kids that we have now, but we have two in like school, one in preschool, and then one that's home with us 24/7. So it has just, it's killed me a little bit this year doing all the May things. And we still
but
have
do y'all
two weeks.
Feel like it's flown by? I mean, like all when I say it's been crazy enough that like I look down and it's the 17th, I'm like, did May even happen? I've just been in a time warp.
Yeah, it has flown by, but it has drugged me along. That's how
agreed.
I feel.
Well, and I don't know about y'all, but my oldest is about to start kindergarten. And so we're already having like kindergarten orientation. Like, we've already met the teacher. I'm like,
you're like, it's back to school already?
I'm overwhelmed. They're already telling us we need to order school supplies by June 4th. And I'm like, it's not August. So I feel like it's been, now I'm already, it's May and I'm trying to wrap up this year, but I'm already thinking about next August. Like, mm-hmm. Where's summer? I don't even know.
Skipped it all together.
I'm surprised they want you to get your school supplies so early.
Well, they do this like PTA fundraiser. Basically, the school is like hardcore about equity. So they don't want anyone really bringing in their own supplies. Like, you're supposed to just contribute to the pool of supply.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which I love. And it's like, so don't go out and get the Spider-Man folder because your kid won't get it because it's going in a pile and we're distributing from there. So basically it's like, hey, just submit your money here and we'll just get everything essentially if you want, or you can shop the list, whatever. But
I would have loved that.
I love it. I'm pumped. But we have so much to talk about, so we need to dive in. But before we do, I would love if you would just kind of give like your 15-second elevator pitch in case someone is listening that doesn't know you, which I would be shocked. But if that is the case, give us your elevator pitch and then we want to tell you why we're so excited you're here.
Okay. I'm Kate Strickler. I am the face behind Naptime Kitchen. So that is my blog and my Instagram. I am a mom of four. I live in Charleston, South Carolina. I namely show up on Instagram daily, just sharing cooking tips and life management things that have helped me. And then I also enjoy writing a lot. So I'll kind of share like snippets of my life and motherhood and stories through writing. And so that's my platform. I've been doing it since 2016. And now it is my real job, my career. And it's been great. I love it. I really love it.
Well, we really love you. And so the reason we wanted you, when we first decided we wanted to do this podcast, we really wanted to share the stories of women and specifically moms who created these businesses, mainly online, because it's just amazing to see what people have balanced being a mom, being a spouse, you know, and doing all these other things. And you were one of the people where you're like, we just would love to hear your story and share it because it's been so fun to watch you. I know I told you in my email to you, I don't know if I first got connected to you by my sister-in-law who knows you in real life or one of my best friends who knows you from college, but I started following you when you were like, just doing it really for fun. And then it's been so cool to watch you do the internet so differently and be so authentic, and how you just fully being yourself is what has, and obviously you're working hard, but you just being yourself has really grown this brand of followers that are so, so loyal to you. And Lauren and I were saying, we'll never forget, there was one time where you came on and you were like, I'm going to show you guys how to cut an onion, even though I know you can Google it, because Nate told me that the people just want to know how Naptime Kitchen cuts an onion. And it was, I remember that.
That's so funny.
I was like, it's so true, Nate. I could Google this, but I want to know what Kate thinks because I trust her. And it's just been, that's the kind of loyalty and trust you created. And it's just been so cool to watch. And I love that you mentioned how you love to write, because one of my favorite things, if you all look at her feed, is when you get your more like, I don't want to say emo, but more like serious, reflective.
Sentimental, reflective, yeah.
Yes, they're all like in black and white in your terms of your picture. And so I love it, because if I'm like, I want to remember what Kate said about Thursdays, because Thursdays are hard, I can like scroll and find the black and white picture of like a baby sprawled on the bed and be like, that's where it was, and read it. So I just love how you've done it. And your feed's so like not curated, but still, like you said, purposeful. I just love it.
Thanks. It's chaotic. I don't know how to curate it. I can't do it. I've tried, and Instagram will then change. Like, I remember a few summers back, I was really using Planoly, which would like help you like have your squares, like kind of having a purpose behind them. And then Reels was introduced, and it was like, well, nobody cares about your squares anymore anyways. So it was like, I put all this effort into this. So keeping up with Instagram, there's just certain parts I'm like, I don't know. I can't do it.
You yeah. love it, but you hate it.
The curation falls apart.
For me, all the practicalities that you share are like, I need those in my life. Like, I know we'll get into like the home reset and stuff, where I'm sure if I just was asking Rebecca, how do you do this? How do you manage this in your house? Great. But like, to have a guideline for anything that I need, whether it's cleaning out my closet to freezer meals, to all these things that really don't come natural to me, I'm like, oh, I am so encouraged by, here is the process. Here's somewhere where I can go. And I completely agree with you, Rebecca, of the, I want to know how you're doing it, how you're managing it, because I want to incorporate those things into my life, because they don't come naturally to me. And so from how can I decide once and make this freezer meal for every time I bring somebody a baby, when I do bring them a meal for when they have a baby, it's always Greek-ish chicken. Like, that's our favorite thing in our house. And it's what I bring every single time. And so there are rhythms that you have introduced to my life that I'm very thankful for, but it is, your Instagram is a place where I know I'm going to get that authentic, trustworthy content. I don't know. I can trust anything that you put out there. And so I just really appreciate the space that you have created for that. I would call myself a Naptime Kitchen disciple, because I just trust what you say.
We're following.
If I walked around my house and I was like, I bought this from her Amazon link. There are people out there who I buy their things and I'm like, I'm not buying it again, because I don't like it. I like everything that I get. I'm wearing the, Blooming Jelly shorts right now.
I am too. Best friends. I got them on. I didn't even plan it.
I have the same shirt as you too, Rebecca. I wore it yesterday. So
the Target tank.
Yeah, we should have planned it better. We're in both today. Well, thank you for being here, Kate. We're so excited to have you.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Well, and probably we'll get to this when we get to the business banter and you tell your story. It probably is so weird for you to have all these people who feel like they know you so well and you're like, you're a stranger. But we're just going to do that anyway, because we're going to start with some bestie banter, because we feel like we're your household best friends. Name. So, and we just want our audience to hear just how relatable you are on your Instagram, just like you are here. So first, we like to always start with a blood boiler. So this is just anything that's just really boiling your blood right now. So Lauren, why don't you give her an example and then we can hear what Kate has.
Oh, I think I know what it means.
Okay, go. You start us off, Kate.
No, I want to hear yours. I want to hear yours, Lauren.
Okay. When people say, this is a quote that I can't get behind. The best is yet to come. I think I'm sure it's taken out of context. When I think, I'm a Christian, so I guess heaven is the best that's coming. I don't know. I Googled, where does this phrase come from? It was actually from a Frank Sinatra song. I did not know that. It's actually on his tombstone. So maybe he was thinking that the best is yet to come, now that I am in the grave. But people use it for all sorts of things. And I just think I am the biggest optimist you've ever met.
You
but
are.
There is a dose of reality here that I'm like, maybe the best is right now. I don't know. What if it gets worse? Like, if we're talking about this life right here, the best, how can you say the best is yet to come? I'm not sure I can get behind that. But people will take it and use it for like their tagline for things. I don't know. I don't like that phrase. It kind of is along the same lines to me as the phrase, it is what it is. It doesn't mean anything to me. That was just, it was just on my list. And I was like, I'm going to bring that to the people and see what they think.
So you do not have a Ray Dunn mug that says the best is yet to come.
No. Don't need that in my house.
Well, my blood boiler is, and this is so, again, these are all so random. I don't know why this bothers me so much, but when people come to your house and they use the most random dishware that you have. Like, they're like, hey, can I grab a glass of water? You're like, go for it. And it's like, they go to the top shelf, back right corner, a glass you've never used. And they like pull it down and you're like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Or, you
know, some souvenir cup you didn't even know you had anymore.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, why are we using that? And then I'm unloading the dishwasher. I'm like, where did this even come from? Or we just went on our 10-year anniversary trip and the grandparents like split watching the kids, which free childcare, praise the Lord, like can't complain. But my like mother-in-law made some macaroni and cheese in a casserole dish that we got for our wedding that I'm not kidding. I've never used. I don't even know where it was stored in my kitchen at this point. And she like pulled it out and found it and cooked with it. And this has bothered me so much that right now I'm doing Kate's home reset because we're about to move. And that was one of your recommendations, was like, do it before you move to like get rid. And Thomas came down and our entire trunk of my minivan was filled with like random kitchenware. And he was like, what is all this stuff? I was like, Thomas, these are things that random people keep using in our kitchen that I don't use. And I'm just hanging on to it because this is Corningware and it's nice. And my mom always made casseroles and Corningware. So I've always had Corningware, but I don't actually use Corningware. I was like, so we are going to pass this on to another place. And so I'm now dealing with my blood boiler by removing the objects from my house so that when goes to get a coffee mug and they get the random one that came with our place setting that we registered for our wedding that no one ever uses, and it's like dusty because no one ever uses it, I don't have to be grossed out or
get it out of here
because it's not even an option anymore.
Gosh. Well, I had two that one of them, I mean, it's, this one's like probably files under unpopular opinions as well, but I do not like it when people besides my children call me mama.
Oh, wait, why would someone do that?
Mama? It's like a Starbucks lady?
No, it's just like a very common, like, hey, mama. Like, it's kind of like a, I do it, like, it really bothers me. Now, I've never said to someone like, hey, it's not normally like
someone you know.
It's like in a, or sometimes I know them, they're like in a text message or something. It's just like calling, I'm like, I don't really want anyone to call me mama.
What if, does Nate children. Ever call you?
Nate mama. Calls me mama when we're with the kids.
Right.
Which okay I think is like, yeah, I think that's like totally.
It's like mama. Your name is mom. So it's
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like if we're like around our children, but like he's not going to call me mama on a date. Like, but in our house, he'll be like, hey mama, Johnny's right. Looking for yeah. His water bottle. Like,
but like maybe you're at the park with your kids and someone's like, the mom of that child, mama, your kid's over there doing it.
I just don't, I don't know. For some reason, it like, I don't really like the, and it, again, I think it's an unpopular opinion, but I just don't like when being addressed as like, hey, mama, or like when people start like a written something as like, hey, mamas.
Oh,
yeah, I know we're all yeah. Tired. I just, I'm like, I don't know why I just feel very yeah. Uncomfortable. And then the other one is like very common. Blood boiler, it's like timeless, but it really bothers me when people drive in the left lane and don't use it for passing. It kills my soul inside.
They're just parked over there.
Sometimes Nate will do it without thinking. And I'm like, Nate, get over. It's caused us a few like arguments on road trips. And I'm like, this lane is for passing.
Right.
You are not passing.
You shouldn't be on cruise control in the left lane. You turn your cruise off.
Like, we're pass. All in it. And I'm like, mm-mm.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You need to get over. Like if everyone was getting over, people could pass appropriately. Yep. So those are my two blood boilers.
I support I love that them. Entirely.
Kate, my blood boiler from our last episode was when people talk about their mom, like, and say, mom, and this could be you. I don't know. But like, I'm telling a story to you all and I'm like, mom called me on the phone yesterday and I'm using her name as a proper noun when she's not your mom. Like I should say my mom.
My mom. Gotcha.
Right. So on the mom terms, I feel you on those.
Yeah. Just,
like makes me feel weird. I'm like, we don't share the same mom.
There are a lot of people, Kate, after that last episode that DM me and they're like, I do this. I do what Lauren said and I didn't realize.
But they didn't know. Right. So I'm like, I'm just here to spread awareness. Like same with the mamas. Like they might not even know they're doing it, but now they'll be aware.
And I think a lot of people like it. I think for a lot of people, like, I think there's two camps. That's why I do think it's an unpopular opinion. I think a lot of people like love that identity, love that like shared camaraderie as mamas. But I just don't.
Like I one thing I do like is I like when you're at like a Cracker Barrel and there's like an older woman who's your server and she's like, hey, sugar. Hey, honey. I like those Southern turns of endearment from a stranger. I'm here for it.
Do they have to be like an old person though? Or is it like,
it feels a little weird if it's like a peer. I'm like,
hun.
I do prefer if it's someone like older than me referring to me with a term of endearment, but I do know like people like I think my sister is one of them who gets like offended. Like, why would she call me sweetie? And I'm like, oh no, I think it's like kind of nice. Like she's like my grandma, like, hey honey. But I don't know if I want her to call me mama. Okay. No. All right. Well, this next one, Lauren and I don't have anything for this. We thought you might because you're good at this. And it's something we call 30-second therapy. And so I think you just have so many good mantras. And so is there any just like a little bit of wisdom that you could spit at us or something you're like chewing on right now or thinking on recently that's become a little bit of encouragement for you?
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably share one that's come back around. This is an older, but the phrase nothing but time, which I share often on Naptime Kitchen, is coming back around with Alberta and just kind of, it's basically the mentality that I have nowhere. If I have her from when we drop off the kids until when she goes to her nap and we're just doing things, we are in no rush. Mm. Like all I have is time. So if she wants to walk from the car into the grocery store, like why would I not just, what am I rushing for? Why am I rushing her from doing a puzzle to being outside to like with all these like little miniature activities that you do, just the like realization that we have nothing but time. Often I say that and just, so it's like, yeah, I do. We got nowhere to be. Like, let's do this slowly. Let's stop. Let's look at the rock, whatever it is.
I can't tell you how many times in the last like week or two since you reposted that one with my 14-month-old, I've like picked him up to carry him somewhere. And I've been like, oh wait,
nothing but time.
You go toddle over there because he's like, you know,
he so wants to do like, it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Go to pick him up to take him up the stairs. And I'm like, he loves climbing the stairs. Why don't I just let him climb them? I'm right here.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that reminder because I think I personally, unpopular opinion, and or maybe it's an unpopular opinion, I think like 12 to 20 months is like the hardest age ever because they're just like so unsafe and also unhinged. And you're just like, I just am trying to keep you from hurting yourself at all times. And they have like no words, or at least my youngest right now. I feel like my older two had more words at this age, but he refuses to do sign language either. So he can't communicate. So he just screams at me. And so I'm quick to want to like rush through it as opposed to being like, let me just appreciate like who you are right now. Like you're hilarious. You have no fear. Like you just want to explore. I call him a free range chicken. Like all he wants to do is just be untethered. And I just need to like let him do that more.
Yeah.
Well, I find myself getting frustrated when I don't think like that, like nothing but time. I'm trying to rush to the next thing. I'm trying to move fast and I'm getting frustrated. And when if I just would stop and think nothing but time, like we have the time. I need to tell myself to chill out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a huge luxury. I think when you can kind of switch the mindset to like, it is a luxury that I have this time. Like there are a lot of people that do not have it.
So true.
And just kind of embrace it a little bit more.
Well, speaking of luxury, we're going to share a little luxury now. Mine is, okay, so we went on our 10-year anniversary trip, like I just mentioned, and something I love, but Thomas, my husband, does not love. I love the turndown service at a hotel. Like at the hotel we were at, they came in twice. They came in the morning to clean up and make your bed, and then they came in before bed, turned it down. You know, they put like a fresh water bottle on your bedside table. They moved the little hotel slippers like right there next to your bed. And Thomas doesn't like people like in the room. If it was up to him, he would put do not disturb on our room the whole time. And I'm like, no, I want every amenity and service. And it just felt so nice. Like every night, even though we both like to rip the sheets out of the corner, we don't like tightly tucked sheets. So I don't know why I like them to make it, but because as soon as I get there, I rip them out. But it just felt so nice to walk in every night and just the bed is like ready for me to get in. I felt like that was such like a little thing.
Somebody else took care of you and you weren't taking care of other people and things. You showed up like, and your bed was made. And
I'm thirsty. Oh, look, they thought of me and they put a water bottle right here knowing I was going to be thirsty.
That's so good. I agree with that. I love a good turndown service. Okay, mine right now, I just got some new lake pajamas and I am a lake pajamas fan through and through. But Kate, maybe you can help me troubleshoot this. They're like the Pima cotton. I don't know if you have any. I left them in the washer for maybe a little too long and they got that like mold in the Pima cotton.
Like the black dots.
Yes. I tried like all these different pastes and concoctions that I found on Google. Nothing took them out. So I was like, well, I'm going to leave them out in the sun because sometimes the sun has magical powers that can take it out. And then there was a torrential downpour hailstorm here the other day. I was like, oh, cool. This I'll have to try again another day. But then my husband got me some new ones for Mother's Day, and it was such a treat. They're so much softer than my other ones have ever been. So I'm loving my new lake pajamas, just sliding into my bed with they're softer than I ever remember them being. So maybe that's all I needed was some new lake pajamas.
Mm. Well, mine's kind of an opposite end, but I have been going to a workout class outside of my house, and that has been my little luxury.
Do they have childcare there in Uber, Alberta?
I just have to do it when I don't have her, but it is like hard. They are blaring music. I just feel like I'm an entirely different person for an hour. I'm like lifting heavy weights, listening to heavy rap music. There is like no motherhood there. I'm just like this other person. And no, I don't really know many people there. And so I'm like, these people don't even know who I am. Like I'm just this That's person great. In here next to them lifting weights, just like they are. Like I just love it.
That's refreshing.
Yeah. Do you like a workout where people are yelling at you?
No, it's not like that. Okay. It's just the music is really loud. I don't really like people yelling at me, but I do like a coach coming around and like correcting me and telling me, I think you can go harder and things like that. So they do that. And it's been fabulous.
We're about to move and I've been working out from home since we adopted our oldest. So 5 years now. But when we move, my like online subscription is going to expire. So Thomas, my husband's trying to convince me to do CrossFit with him because it's like less than a mile from our house. So we could really like tag team it easier. Because same thing, that's my biggest issue right now with getting out of the house is like the childcare. And I'm like really nervous, but I went the other day by to see him and I like loved the loud music. And what you said, it's the idea of like being completely not mom and like all these other roles. For maybe an hour might be a nice little escape.
And I don't have my phone. Like my phone's in the, like not with me. So I have like nothing with me. I have really loved it.
Love that.
Okay. So we're going to do one more before we get into some business banter. And usually we do a top three, but this time Lauren and I thought we should do a bottom three. And this would be, what is like the worst book to you to read at bedtime with your kids? Like when y'all are all settling down before bed and your kid, you're like, everyone go pick one book and I'll read one.
Not that one.
Someone brings that and you're like, anything but that. I can start because I feel really passionate about this. And I really want to donate this book, but my kids will notice. And it's The Tickle Monster. Do you have that one, Kate?
Mm-mm. I don't have it either.
Gosh. God bless you. I'm so happy for you guys. My sister, classic fun aunt, buys this book. And then she doesn't live here, so she doesn't have to read it. But basically, it's an adorable book. It rhymes, but each page, it's like a different paragraph. And then you have to tickle like their armpits, their knees, their elbows. Like it's something different. And then at the end, it's supposed to be like a tickle attack. But I'm like, this is the last thing I want to do before bed. I don't want to chase you around. I don't want to get you all jazzed up and get you the zoomies. And then you're like going
crazy. Time to go to bed.
And so I feel like I keep forgetting to preface like every time at bedtime, like any book, but The Tickle Monster, like that needs to be like a middle of the day book. It's not like a just before bed, we read the Jesus Storybook Bible. Now we're going to read The Tickle Monster. Like that's not happening. No. So that's the one I'm like really wrestling with. Do I steal my kids' joy by just removing it from my home?
Yes, you should.
Because
it okay. is. Ours have, when I asked my husband last night what he thought this, we both were just like, anything that's too long, because now our five-year-old who is on the cusp of reading, she can't read yet, but she can memorize a book. So she knows when you skip pages, when you don't even read, like you miss a sentence on there. And so if we introduce a new book that is like on the longer side or reading, I'm like, I'm not even going to read some of these words to start with because she does not need to memorize. We're just skipping through. And so, I mean, one, for example, that doesn't stay in her room, it stays in a basket in the closet where we can't see it, is one that the grandparents got us. It's like one of those, somebody probably self-published it and sells it out of their like bed and breakfast or something. It's a very like homemade kind of looking book. It's got tongue twisters and it's too long and it doesn't even make sense. I'm like, that book needs to disappear from my house. Kate, did anything come to your mind?
Mine would be any poor retelling of a Disney story. So it's like The Little Mermaid, but like in a book form, but they've cut out a lot.
Right.
We have a lot of those somehow that are, and they're just not great. We've just had like multiple different versions over the years, but honestly, no, those are not Barbie. I do not enjoy reading Barbie books.
We're in a real Barbie phase over here.
Yeah. Scout brings them home from the library. And it's just like kind of poor writing. Like I'll read a long book if it's just a good story.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm like, nothing's happening to Barbie in this story. And it's 30 pages
Skipper and
long.
Chelsea.
Yeah. So actually a bad retelling of a Disney movie and then a Barbie.
That's how I would say, like when you said the library, I forgot we had to put a ban on my three-year-old because she goes to the library with my mom, Mimi, and they go to story time. And Mimi would always let her come back with like Pinkalicious, Aqualicious, Silverlicious. I do not like those books. Pinkalicious has an attitude.
She does.
My daughter's repeating stuff she says. And I'm like, where'd she hear that? I'm like, oh, that was in that Silverlicious book. So I finally said, Mimi, we've read all these five times over. Do not bring another one of these into my house. All right, well, let's move on to business banter. Lauren, why don't you kick us off with some of the questions we have for Kate?
Yeah. Okay. Think all the way back to when this started. Did you ever anticipate that this would be like your full-time job and this is what you would be doing? Tell us about how it started and kind of when you realized it has evolved into something else.
Yeah, I definitely didn't. It was never a thought in my mind that this would be a business of any sort. It really was just a place to post recipes because I was like stuck at home and I like to cook. So I was like, oh, I'll do like Naptime Kitchen because like my baby's sleeping and I'm in the kitchen, Naptime Kitchen. And I just posted, and this was back like Stories didn't exist yet and neither did Reels. So it was just a static image. And it just really slowly grew. I mean, and I think that's why it's remained enjoyable for me is because the growth has been like real linear. People that like are hearing about me from a friend. Like hasn't been like a bunch of strangers. Like the thought of having something go viral and then having a bunch of people start to follow me that have never met me. And then having a bunch of people like make comments on things when they know nothing about me is kind of scary to me, honestly, to have like a bunch of strangers on the internet find me at once. And I really just kind of stuck with it. And we had one child and then two and then three. And by the time Millie was a baby, I feel like we were starting to realize that I did not even know that people wanted swipe up capability in order to make money. I did not know about affiliate linking, like none of it. I got the swipe up link and I was like, this is so fun. Now I can like share YouTube videos. That's really, and this, because like, if you wanted someone to see a video, you almost had to send them to YouTube because Reels didn't exist. Like there wasn't this other way. Now you just share those videos like through Instagram Reels now. But I think probably in like early 2019, we started to realize like, oh, this is a real business. Oh, and I made the freezer guide. And then I made the meal plan guide and those sold well. And so it was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, this people buy products that I make. And then we came out with the home reset and the home reset was really, really successful and continues to be like my top product.
Okay. Can I ask you this? Did mm-hmm. you get to a point where you were like, I need to sell something? Like I've got this like captive audience and maybe I could do something with it. Or were those resources you created a response to you're answering a lot of the same questions over and over again? Or did you get to a point and you were like, I should like do something with this?
Probably both. And mm-hmm. I would say Kendra Adachi, the lazy genius, I do not know how she knew about me, but she early on was like really kind and sent me an email and was like, she could tell I was drowning. I think I had said something that was like, I'm really sorry, guys. I can't respond to DMs. And she was like, you need an assistant. Mm. And then I think she said something like, you should make a product. She told me something.
So that you like could pay for your assistant.
Yeah.
And like just have some help. Yeah.
She was probably like a year or two ahead of me in terms of like just where she was. Like she had an assistant, like there were things that she had in place that she was like, you need to hire someone. So I don't remember. I think the freezer guide was more like, I really think that a lot of people don't know how to do this mm-hmm. and I could like teach people how to do this. And I really, really wanted it to be very affordable. So it was like $12. Mm-hmm. I think it's like $15. And so we were like blown away that people bought it. We were like, wow, this is great.
Lauren and I, our entire businesses are virtual downloadable products for counselors and teachers. And so I remember being so excited to see someone outside the education space making a virtual downloadable product because it's such a blessing, I feel like, to your family to be able to create something, but then you're not having to like package, ship, deal with inventory. Like you created something so valuable, but then that time is only like you only had to put it in that time. And then, of course, there's customer service and stuff.
Right. But it's like a passive product that lives somewhere that product. Continues to serve people when they discover you and find it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the timeline of Freezer Guide? I feel like the meal plan was really quick after Freezer Guide because I'm pretty sure I own them all. And then the home reset was a little bit later. And that's when you jumped in with the audio too. So what was kind of the timeline of the publication of those?
I think that Freezer Guide was late 2019. Because I was not pregnant at all. So I think it was 2019 because Millie was like a year old. And then Meal Plan Guide was like sometime in early 2020. And then actually the Home Reset came out in 2020, but it was just a series of blog posts. There was nothing to buy. It was just written. It wasn't nearly what it is today, but right. It was just like, I'm just going to take people through what I do in my home. And I did it through a series of blog posts and they just were like really well received. And so I think that, and then 2020 hit. So, which was huge for my business because all of a sudden everyone was online. But I think when it was, those blog posts were coming out like January of 2020 that, and then over that year, it was like, we should make this into a real product. Mm-hmm. And then it launched as an actual product December 26th of 2020.
Okay. And when you started all of this, like back in the beginning, when you were just blogging and writing your recipes and stuff, because you had the website when you had your Instagram, right? Or you had Instagram first. Okay.
I had Instagram first. I do not like blogging.
I was going to say, you have, like, were you on Blogger? Like how, or did you just figure this out yourself? Or how did you do your website?
I had a friend that was a friend from college. Her name, Catherine Archer. Thank you, Catherine. Helped me like figure out how to even like create a blog. And like buy naptimekitchen.com. And we really did it because I had so many recipes on my Instagram, but there was no way to search them.
Right.
So the blog was 100%. The blog really remains just a housing place.
Right.
Like your home base. Hey, yeah. Read this written post on Instagram. And if you want to find it again and you remember one word, search it on my blog. But I've never been like, go to my blog. Because I do not like blogging.
Right.
So I don't know why. I just don't love the platform.
I just think your story is so unique. Cause like you said, you didn't set out with this idea or like, I love blogging, so I'm going to do this and then we'll see what happens. It's like, everything has been born out of like this necessity. Like you said, there's no search feature. Okay, I'll basically create this so that there is one. Like, I just think it's really cool to hear the timeline of events.
Even still, like Jess is my assistant, who is a godsend. She is the secret sauce to Naptime Kitchen. It's just her helping me. She really does everything on the blog. Like, I'll just give her the words and the pictures. And I'm like, if I could not sign onto the blog ever, I would be happy. I do not enjoy the process. Sounds terrible, but I don't.
No, that's, I love that.
Kind of how I feel about my business Instagram, which Lauren actually runs my business Instagram, Kate, because I like Instagram purely for fun. But like my business one for It's Not Rocket Science, it just feels like too much pressure. And so Lauren does all of that. Like, I'm like, if I never logged into that again, I would be fine.
You'd be okay.
Also, I kind of feel like that about my email inbox, but this is not about me. You wanted to ask her something, Lauren.
If you could go back and tell yourself one thing when you were starting out, what would you tell yourself?
Ooh, I don't know. I really don't know what I would tell myself. That's terrible to say. I think that I have fought really, really hard, and I'm very grateful for Nate. So Nate is my husband. I have fought super hard to stay the same, like stay true to who I am. And so I probably would say like, continue as who you are, which I have fought really hard to do in this space, especially I think when there starts to be voices that are like asking for things outside of my realm. And I have to kind of fight to be like, that's not in my lane. And so I have like written on near my desk, stay in your lane. Like, what is it that I'm focusing on? What is it that I care about? And then there's a quote, it's from an Austin Kleon book that I love, but he says, do what you do best and link the rest. Basically meaning like, if you're not good at it, link them to somebody that is. You do not have to tell them how to do everything. So those are just some things that I've tried to like stick by. Oh, I would have said, learn how to edit video. That's what I would have told myself. Get good at editing video.
Rebecca, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, so does Nate kind of keep you not tethered, but like, or do you still have a relationship with Kendra Adachi, like, who helps you figure out? Because there's, like you said, there's so many ideas. I'm sure there are so many people asking you for things. Who kind of helps you figure out, other than yourself,
how to stay in your lane?
Yeah. Like, what's a wise choice, or what's like, oh, this is out of my comfort zone, but I should push myself? Cause that's like a tricky balance too.
Yeah. So Nate and Jess, that's my team. And we have a weekly staff meeting. And so Nate runs our staff meeting, and they're going to be the top people that I run things by. And they're different. They're like different in their opinions and thoughts, but they help me really stay in my lane. Nate is not big on social media, so he is really good at helping me realize when something is happening that is huge on social media, but is not translating to the rest of the world. Mm. And he'll be like, I know this feels like a big deal, but I'm not hearing anything about this. Or just kind of like, you know, no other company does it that way. Like, if I feel like a pressure from someplace, he'd be like, no other company is having to do that. Or, you know, so he's really good at
that's really special. Yeah.
And he cares. He really cares about the business. And then my like best friends from college that I talk to every day, if I write something or I'm thinking about something, like I could send them a post and be like, hey, I'm about to post this tomorrow. Does anybody have any like red flags or feedback before I do? So you think this sounds good? And they can give me, like, they can be a sounding board.
I love that.
I love a discerning husband who can encourage and also say, keep moving in this direction. That's mine too. Cause I would chase everything and be distracted by everything. And to have like that written up on your wall, or to have some goals that you're like, these are my things. This is what I'm moving towards. Does it fit through one of those? If it doesn't, like maybe it's for somebody else to handle, or it's not for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think if I can be vulnerable, one thing that's very hard about what I do is that because I'm reaching kind of a broad range of people now, I am going to share something that maybe for you, Lauren, is like, oh my gosh, that is amazing. I never learned that. And then somebody else is like, everybody already knows that. And so it's kind of a hard balance of like, I almost feel like I always have to caveat, like, I know a lot of you know this, but I just want to show you, because the people that have been affected the most by Naptime Kitchen, I would say I'm learning are people that just never learned like a lot of basic things that I take for granted. And that's who I would really love to help. You know, I'm like, if you feel completely overwhelmed and uncomfortable in your kitchen, managing a home, you just feel like you are in a motherhood role and you don't feel cut out for a motherhood role, and I can in some way, shape, or form teach you something that makes that easier, that is my joy. And so I have to kind of remember that's who I'm trying to serve. And that when someone's like, I already knew that, to be like, okay, then this wasn't for you. Like, this wasn't for you. Or Kate, you're not stupid for sharing this. It's not silly. It's helping somebody, but I have to kind of fight because it's not like,
it's noisy.
Signing up. It's noisy. Yeah, and right. It's not like people are signing up like, hey, I'm going to sign up for this specific class from Kate. They're just going to get all of it. And so there's going to be things, Lauren, that you know, I'm going to share something that you do know. And there's going to be something I share that you don't know. And it's just, I just have to be okay if somebody's like, that's silly.
And there are always going to be trolls out there who are like, that's dumb. I'm like, then why are you here? Like, why are you coming into my house and telling me my house is dumb? Like, leave then. Like, yeah, you don't have to be here.
But or just keep scrolling. You don't right. have to like type and
it
tell me.
It sounds like you have such a good idea of that like ideal customer avatar. Like you just described like who you're talking to. And, you know, if someone doesn't find themselves in that, hopefully they like get a little nugget here or there. But when you have that in mind, you're always going to have good content for that person. Like I'm like, yes, my mom is like so good in the kitchen, but it's just like not natural to me. And so I have to like put in extra work to learn and feel like I'm stepping into that motherhood role that mm-hmm. like some days I'm like, I think I'm gonna be a lot better at teenagers than little kids. Like I really think that, but like right now I have to do what I can in the role that I'm in. And so I appreciate those things.
Lauren, the best is yet to come.
But for really, you that, is, that might Lauren. Be for me it might be
oh, man.
Oh my goodness. Well, I think before we move into some more, like, I want to hear more about Jess and how she's helped you for sure, but who kind of do you feel like you kind of knew this was going to be more than a hobby first, or did Nate know, or like when that shift kind of happened, you were like, oh, like this is, I know you said it was very like gradual and slow, it's not like it was like yeah. all of a sudden you're like, we're doing a business, but who kind of like believed in what Naptime Kitchen could be first?
Yeah, that's hard to say, but I think Nate absolutely believed in it. I mean, Nate was like ready to do what we did, which so Nate was an attorney. Kind of how that came to be was Nate was an attorney for a really big law firm and kind of worked out of New York, but he worked in Charleston, but he worked on like kind of a New York time schedule. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of that was that he had like incredible paternity leave because he was working for a big firm. So he, after Millie was born, he had 12 weeks paternity wow. leave. And it was just the most wonderful season. And then after Alberta was born, he had switched to working in-house counsel for a local business in Charleston and just didn't have any really time off. And so he kind of dove right back into work and I was home, and it was really my hardest postpartum was Alberta. Not even physically, like mentally, emotionally, feeling very overwhelmed. And by that point, Naptime Kitchen was doing very well. And I think one day we just were like, what are we doing? Like, what is the point right now that like, I'm working, you're working, what are we just to store up money? You know, like we don't need all of this. And so that's when we really started to have the discussion, like, should we consider Nate coming on board with me? And we talked to my parents about it. We talked to Nate's parents about it. We talked to some trusted friends about it. And basically everyone was like, I think you should go for it.
You ride the wave when you can. And can he go back to working in law? Is that like a thing maybe
if he wanted to? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I actually think Nate would have a really good second law career doing, being a lawyer for people in my profession.
Cool.
Because people in my job need a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I am very lucky because I have a really good lawyer.
Like having an in-house Nate, lawyer.
Yeah. In-house counsel.
Yeah. It's invaluable. Like we'll get a contract from a company and we'll send it back. And they're like, oh, she has a lawyer. And it's Nate, but he right. is like, well, he's pretty cutthroat.
That's such a gift to you because I know that you are so strategic about who you choose to partner with. Mm-hmm. And I love that then you can have someone make sure that you have a contract that allows you to be extremely honest, you know, like, and do what you do. Because I think for like, I'm just thinking about me and like, if I got some sort of contract, I wouldn't know what to, you know, try to translate the legalese or not, or I wouldn't even know either like how can I approach this to make this more what I want it to be? So that is invaluable that you have him. Has he enjoyed it?
He's loved it. Nate is a very old soul. Like everyone has kind of said that his whole life. He likes the slow pace of life. He likes to read. He likes to think, like take lots of time thinking, which sounds so funny. But so for him, I think a lot of the things that might drive the average person crazy, he really enjoys, like putting in a load of laundry and taking Alberta for a walk. He has really enjoyed. I think too, he would say, while there's like a lot of demands on him, it's nothing like the having like somebody breathing down your back or feeling like you got to get this email or you got to read this contract, like just that like high stress level. So he's really, really liked it. And I think he really likes thinking for the business. He is very good at thinking term, whereas I'm probably thinking more short-sighted. He really keeps me on track for the long game. Like, how are we going to keep this working for a long period of time? And that's with partnerships. I'll really discuss a partnership with him. And it's just kind of like, if it's not a hell yes, it's going to be a no, because it's just not worth it for the brand to me to just say yes to a bunch of random things. I hold the trust of my audience like very, very precious to me. And so I just want to make sure I'm putting really good opportunities and partnerships in front of them.
I love that. This is me being like your number one cheerleader behind the scenes, but I think I like sent you a DM about this one time that like when you, I really feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, when Nate came and started working for you, you started doing more brand partnerships. Like did him maybe being able to sort through those or give you some time and space back by like reading those or reaching out or negotiating, did that give you some more confidence in doing those? And because you have done that like so well, like I feel like you're picky about it for your audience. I mean, I will say as a viewer, I'm like, yes. Like I know she believes in this. I really do feel that trustworthiness to you because I know you're like vetting them. So I will say I'm cheering you on and just keep doing more of them because there's probably a temptation to be like, am I doing too many? Am I selling too many things? I'm like, no, I love hearing about it because I know I like believe in it and trust you.
Thanks. And I have a agent, so I have a brand manager. So that I should have included her in my team, but she is with a Parker Talent Management, and so she helps me with all of my brand partnerships. She handles everything. So that started last May, and so that was kind of in conjunction with Nate coming on. So some of the brand partnership uptick has been because I now have an agency that I work with. So she is going to bring me opportunities and I can like look into it, say yes, say no, everything like that. So that helps a ton. I used to do all of that, like everything, every bit of content, talking to the brand, getting approval from the brand, invoicing the brand, everything. And now Carly handles every bit of that and is really wonderful at it. So I talk with Carly and Carly handles everything in terms of like communication for me.
That's great. Answer this if you can. Do you have a favorite brand that you have worked with? Like someone who just elevated above the rest. It was a great experience for you and you really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I had a great experience working with Chinette and I love Chinette.
I bought Chinette at Costco because you told me to. Obviously like I know the brand, but I'm like, oh yeah, I need these at my house.
I really do. Like I buy their stuff. I have their paper plates. So I just feel like if I'm going to serve like a meal to a group of people, like I want a Chinette plate. I want that like better quality product. I love working with Cuisinart. I'm a huge fan of Cuisinart as a brand. And so they're really fun for me to get to work with. And then I really love working with QVC. I do a lot with QVC.
I didn't know that.
That is because QVC is able to get products that I love. And when they come to QVC, they're going to be on a good deal.
Right.
So I've gotten to be like, hey, I love the Dyson. Dyson is not cheap. Today only, it's way less money on QVC. Hey, I love the Vitamix. The Vitamix is not cheap. Today only on QVC. So I feel like I'm able to deliver a brand that I love at a price that is more palatable. I'm not saying like it's ever cheap, but QVC marries those things for me in a way that is awesome. So if I can get my audience a deal, I really want to. I really try and fight for that whenever I can.
Yeah. So that's great. Do you have a dream brand that's like still on a vision board that you'd love to work with?
I would really love, I've worked with them once before, but it was like through a third party, but I would love to work with Rubbermaid. My brands are so unsexy.
I need a good container, you know?
But like if there's something that I'm like, man, I just love this product. Like In-N-Out, this is what I choose to buy. Those are kind of the companies that I really like to be with where I'm like, I feel like I'm having you make a decision and you're not going to buy a new one of these. Blackstone has been amazing. I love our Blackstone grill.
I know your hibachi makes me drool every time you're making hibachi out there.
Huge fan of the Blackstone, huge fan of the product. So anytime where I'm just like, I just love this product. So I'm sure there's other ones, but it's Rubbermaid. I want Disney to send my family to Disney. I said that the other day.
That'd be great.
Let's
do it. I feel like they send TikTokers all the time, like influencers and like even mom influencers. So you've got to be up on their list somewhere. You just need to make the connection.
I'm such a small fish in this world. So, but that would just be fun. Like that would just be a cool thing to get to do. But
it's out there.
I'm sure when this airs, I'm going to be like, I can't believe I only thought of Rubbermaid, but that's what's coming to mind.
You'll think of more. Okay, Rebecca, what else you got?
Okay, I would love to know what would you say has been probably apart from like Jess, because obviously like hiring help is a game changer. But maybe is there another thing you would say was like the best investment you've made in Naptime Kitchen? Where you're like that, or and it doesn't even have to be expensive, but even like, or like you're like, wow, I'm just so glad we did that.
Yeah, I think elevating the home reset, like having a professional video made, giving it its own website.
Yes, it has a facelift.
I noticed all of that.
That was like huge for us to do and really helped the product. Just in, everything was always reliant on like my Q&As on Instagram. And so to have it be like, there's a Q&A over there. It's clear. Everything is understood over there on that website. That was definitely a really good investment.
And the product was already proven. Like you already knew that it was doing well. So you knew, okay, it's just going to do better if we put some gasoline on this fire.
Yeah. And having it like have a podcast capability was huge.
I personally love that feature. Me too. 'Cause I, like you said, I've listened to it multiple times. So now not having to go into like my email to like pull the original audio from like the drive or whatever. It's just, I love that it lives in my podcast player, which, so for people listening who don't know, the Home Reset is launching tomorrow, like the day after we air this, or is it always live and it's going on
sale?
It
is always live now. It is always like available for purchase, but twice a year I do it and twice a year it is discounted.
Okay. So tell them what it is and tell them why this is a great time of year. Cause I think we all get that black trash bag energy in January, but why it also is now good.
I personally, like I am feeling such an itch to do it and I'm really like making myself wait till June. I think it's great to do it in June because it's the halfway mark in the year. Mm-hmm. Summertime just kind of calls for a different home energy. And so it's a really good opportunity to be like, have I put away my winter coats? Have I like switched over to where the beach towels should probably be? Like functional changes. Maybe your kids come home in June. And so you're like, what just needs to change that? Have I gone through my freezer and I have like three casseroles that we should just go ahead and eat before it's like the heat of August, like just some big seasonal changes that happen. And so if you've never heard of me, the Home Reset is my audio course on how to really declutter and rethink your home. So there is a definite decluttering aspect to it, but I think the functionality piece is the way more important piece of the Home Reset. And so it's just trying to help you see your home as a tool and think for how that tool needs to work best for you and your family and your season of life. And so an example, even in my own life is like 2 years ago, no, probably 3 years ago, we were like, we really need to rethink our playroom. And we did like, and it has been wonderful, but we are now about to enter a new season. And I'm thinking come January, we're going to be like, our playroom needs to serve a completely different purpose. We're not playing with blocks nearly as much. Like, our kids' ages are changing. And so just thinking for how your home is one of the biggest tools that you use. It's like when you think about a car, you're like, okay, I want my car to drive well, but I also like want the windows to work. I would love it if it had seat heat, like just different things that you want for the car's functionality. And so your home needs to function in that same way. And so when we go through the kitchen episode, I'm like, hey, are you storing your mixer on your counter and you haven't used your mixer in 2 years, but your mom stored her mixer on the counter, but your mom was a baker. And so it made sense for her, but it makes no sense for you. Why is your mixer on the counter? Do you know that if you barely ever use your mixer, you can store it in your laundry room? Like, just kind of rethinking how you use your space and making it function best for you. And so that it goes through different rooms in your house, and then it comes with checklists. And so something that I will do in June that I will talk about in June is, because I have done the home reset in January, I will not listen to the audio in June. I will reprint the checklists and I will go off of the checklist. So June to me is not nearly as intense as January, but it is very necessary. So there's a lot of things that it's like kids' clothing. We definitely need to do a run through of that in the month of June. Do I need to take every single thing out of my kitchen cabinets like I did in January? Maybe not. Should I take a good run through my pantry? Yes. So you kind of get to have like some freedom there. Now, if you're doing it for the very first time in June, I would do the whole thing.
Right.
But I see June as like just a really good halfway point refresher. There's some things that need to be done every 6 months, and there are other things that I'm like, I can just do this every January and I'm probably good.
I feel like that seasonal aspect is so true. Like we said at the top of the episode, like we're all like overstimulated by May. And so just this concept of like, let's reset. And from listening to yours, I now have like a seasonal bin, which in the fall and winter has all the ingredients for making s'mores. And it has like extra throw blankets that can go outside when we do that. And then come May, June, I switched out and that's a swimsuit bin. And it's my kids can access it. And I laugh hearing you say that about the mixer, because I was so that person with a 300-pound KitchenAid mixer, and I use it once a year in April to make my dad a birthday cake from scratch. And now I keep it on the top of like the high shelf in the laundry room, and people come in, they're like, why is your mixer so high? Isn't it so heavy to get down? I'm like, yeah, but I only get it down once a year. And then my husband, CrossFit Thomas, just puts it back up there. Like, because I don't need it just to sit on my counter just because it's heavy. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And so I think my two things I appreciate so much about it, well, really three. One is the accessibility. Like, as a mom with like little kids, I've said before, like I can listen into the audio in the time that one Bluey episode is. So I can like throw on a Bluey while I listen to the audio. And then with the checklist, you can just do it little bits at a time. Mm-hmm. And two, I really appreciate the accountability. Like, I think there's value in paying for something, because then you're much more likely to follow through. And then three, just the way you've helped me like think again, it's really so much about thinking about your house differently, and how you've always said, like, you know, Better Home and Gardens isn't coming and doing a photo shoot in your bedroom. So like, if you don't want 18 throw pillows, like you don't have to have 18 throw pillows, you know?
Yeah.
And I've just really appreciated that.
Thanks. It has been one of my favorite. I mean, it is my favorite thing I've ever created. And I really believe, because I'm on Instagram, so I am seeing somebody showing me how to clean this, and somebody showing me how to clean that, and somebody showing me how they reorganized. And to me, that's just such a waterfall of information. But I like live and die by those checklists. I'm like, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, I can print those checklists and very, very tangibly,
yeah,
get a handle on my home. If I do this checklist, I have a very solid handle on my home. And if you buy the home reset once, you can print those checklists every however often you want. Some people like laminate them and then use
them. They're in a binder, like, in those little sheets, those little page protectors in my kitchen.
I'm so honored by you. I just think it is a like one decision, do this over and over, and it's going to continue to work.
It really is. The freezer too. And just like how you, and I love what you even said too about the stuff in the freezer and eating it. Like, we have a bunch of venison taco soup and it's like, we got to eat this because we're already hitting 90 degree days. And so this isn't going to make it to November. So like, we got to just power through, or else our freezer is just going to have venison taco soup for an entire year in it.
Yeah.
So I love the two times a year. I think that's great.
Well, we'll link the Home Reset in the show notes. Is there an easy, is it like naptimekitchen.com?
It's just thehomereset.com.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, homereset.com.
And when they're following you on Instagram, they'll see it too. So Rebecca and I are both owners of it. You bought it before me. And then I think I got it. And then the next wave of it came to AudioCore. So I love having that in my earbuds now.
Thanks. And Rebecca, what you said, I remember I had bought like a couple of courses that were computer, like stare at a screen. And I was like, I just can't. I had three kids when I made the Home Reset. And I was like, it has got to be audio. We've got to figure it out how to do this as an audio course, because it has to just be like, you can listen while you're driving. I was like, I don't know anybody that's going to be like, I want to clean my house right now, so I'm going to go sit in front of my computer.
Right. It just would never happen.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah.
I'm literally unloading the dishwasher, listening to the kitchen one, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do next. You know, it's just so much easier.
Okay, Kate, what is something that is not in your zone of genius that you do with Naptime Kitchen? You have to deal with it anyway.
Probably video.
Did you, posted something at one point that you were like looking to hire someone for that. Yes. Did that ever pan out?
It did a little bit. But the problem with my life is I love the in the moment. Here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Versus like, hello, today I'm going to do this. And so much of what I was doing was like, I'm feeling really inspired in this moment. And I was like, I just feel like people connect more when my home is like untidy and I'm in my bathrobe and I'm actually doing like I'm. And so it was just very hard for me to plan it. To be like, am I going to film like 6 reels in one day? Like have somebody come over and then edit all of them. And then I just would think of so much content in the moment. And I'm not planned enough to be like, I'm going to wait and make this 4 recipes or something, or I'm going to like wait and do this kitchen hack. It was like, no, in the moment I'd like, ooh, and I would just set up my camera and film it. So it's still not like my area of expertise. Luckily, I think the internet is moving towards a more like raw, unfinished video look, thanks to Gen Z.
Woo.
So I'm like, thank you for that. And I just am not I'm very disciplined, but I am not well planned. I am 100 miles an hour in a million different directions. And so like you might think my camera roll is organized or my content is organized, and it's really usually just like an absolute dumpster fire.
On the inside, do you have a content calendar of like an idea of what, I mean, you're going to have your spontaneous stuff, but do you have like an idea? I mean, right now you're talking about smoothies this week. Yeah. So I think, and you hinted that there's something coming at the end of the week, but like, so that is some planned content that you're like, okay, I'm going to make sure I'm talking about smoothies and spinach and stuff this week. Is that a regular thing? Like, do you have a little calendar that you're kind of planning stuff on?
Barely. Just barely. Not at all like what you would probably think.
That's great.
I have some thoughts written down for the different months, but I often don't stick to it. Like, I just am like, I'm just really like going with my feelings.
Well, and it's worked for you so far. So
I don't know if it's always the best. It does help me when I have a theme of some sort, but I normally don't.
It makes it more enjoyable for you. Like, you got to do what makes it fun, because your number one job is being a mom and a spouse. And so, like, I think that's something I'm always having to harness in my own creative energy with what I do is like, it's got to still be fun, because this is not primary for me, you know? Then it's hard to not let it run away from you. What is one thing you would say you're really excited about in your business right now?
I'm really excited about the Home Reset coming back in June. It's just energizing for me to have people do it and enjoy it. We're going to come out with a blog post on the recipe binder next week.
Oh, yay.
Just explaining, well, maybe by the time this airs, it's already out. Sorry.
Yeah, we can link it.
In this futuristic way. And my website, I'm having like a rebrand done for my website. Cool. So I have had a blog for this entire time, like a true WordPress blog.
Like you're writing posts. Yeah.
Yep. And so we're going to have a true website where it's like way more, who is Naptime Kitchen? Here's how you can see writing posts. Here's how you can see recipes. Here's what the Home Reset is, like kind of more of a all-encompassing website versus a blog like a lot of websites link to a blog,
right?
Have like a blog element, but right now I just have a blog.
So that'll be a really good investment for your business.
I can't wait.
I think you'll be happy that you did that.
Yeah, we're in that process right now. So that'll be fun.
Lauren, what other business questions do you want to hit before we have our last few, like more like mom and businessy questions?
Okay. How are YouTube and TikTok going for you? Cause I saw that you're on TikTok and I'm like, I hate TikTok and it doesn't feel like worth my time and energy, but like people are there. Do you find that your people are there and is it worth it?
I have a TikTok. I don't know if I've posted in 2 months.
Yeah.
So that's how TikTok is going. I was like, I just can't. And I was talking with my agent about it, because obviously TikTok is like a great, it's like if you're on Instagram, being on TikTok is a great secondary platform for a lot of people. It's their primary platform. But I just was like, I just don't know if I'm going to look back in 10 years and regret not being on TikTok.
Right.
I'm just, I was like, my energy feels finite and that's not what I'm going to prioritize. And Nate is like, I really think eventually that I don't know what's going to happen to TikTok. He's like, I just don't want to put a bunch of energy there because they keep being on the news. So YouTube has been great. So we have a newsletter that goes out every other week called The Power Nap. And Nate is really in charge of The Power Nap. But we have tried to make every bit of Naptime Kitchen content accessible for you off of social media. And so if you want to read my posts, you can read them on my blog. If you want to see my reels, you can watch them on YouTube Shorts. And that comes out via the Power Nap. So if somebody gets the Power Nap and they hate Instagram, they're like, I'm done with Instagram, but I like Naptime Kitchen. It'll be like, in case you missed it, and it'll be like, Kate talked about how she cleans her blender. Kate talked about, and those links don't link to Instagram. They link to YouTube Shorts.
Cool.
So it's just kind of a way. And because Instagram is not searchable, if somebody wanted to, they could go to my YouTube page and find things a lot easier. So I'm not really making another form of content for Instagram, but my reels are YouTube Shorts.
Yeah. And I think it's capitalizing on stuff you've already done. You've already created the videos. YouTube is an SEO, like Google searchable platform. Like when people are looking for things, you pop up on there, and you're not, when people are searching for things, Instagram is not popping up. Mm-hmm. And so it's just one more place for people to find you. And more people watch YouTube than I realized. Mm-hmm. Like I put a poll on my Instagram and I was like, you know, who's hanging out on YouTube? It's like 50% of the people were. I was like, oh, we do.
Wow.
We do that, I guess. I don't know. I know.
Yeah. And Jess handles all of that.
Is she a contractor, or like, do you pay her hourly? Do you pay her like a monthly fee and she kind of tries to work a certain amount of hours, or how do you like navigate that? Or is she on like salary?
We do hourly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And she tracks her hours.
Cause I feel like it'd be so different every week, you know?
Yeah. And there's been seasons where she's like just pummeling through things. Mm-hmm. like the launch of the home reset, or like the week leading up to it in December is always really busy. And then there's other times where we're like, hey, it's slow. Like, you know, do what you want to do, or take time, like breathe for a little bit if you want to and stuff like that. So
she sounds like a jack of all trades.
And how'd you find her?
We had like an application process for the job, and Nate luckily handled that. This was like in 2020, I think, when we hired her. We had like 500 people apply, and Nate went through them all. And
they were all local, right? Because I think you said it had to be local. Okay.
Because Jess isn't local. No, that was a different thing. You could be from anywhere. So.
God bless Nate.
Cool. Yeah, but she's wonderful. She's wonderful. I was like, I cannot do this.
No. I've always kind of wondered, what is it like? Like, are you ever like at the park with your kids and someone comes up to you and is like, hey, are you Kate from Naptime Kitchen? Like, or does this happen often? Like someone sees you at Costco, or like when it does, how do you handle it? Do you feel super weird? Or do you have like a certain way you respond? So you don't, like, what do you do? Cause you're like, I'm a normal person.
Yeah. I'd much rather somebody come up to me than be like looking at me. And I'm like, are you looking at me because you might follow me on Instagram? Or are you looking at me because like, there's something weird happening to be addressed. So I'm not sure that if somebody recognized me to just like say hello.
Yeah.
People are so nice. And so normally they like say something really kind, and I ask them like, if they're from here or like, you know, just like a personal question.
Normal people conversation. People
are so nice. Yeah. Just very normal.
What would your kids say that you do for a living?
Oh, I'm on Instagram.
That's what they say. My mom, like, at school.
That's what they would say. My mom's on Instagram. Yeah. And they're getting like John Robert and Scout, mostly John Robert. I try to really not post my kids a ton. Alberta's still at that like kind of fun age where I'm like, I'm going to post you doing something funny. But my other kids are just getting to the point where I'm like, I'm not going to create a personality for you.
Right.
That like, and their friends' moms follow me. So right. That's like a whole new dynamic. John Robert, I'll be like, do you mind? Could I post this on Instagram? Like, could I show? Or sometimes he just knows. He'll be like, you can post that on Instagram. But I just try not to like, it's like, they're a big part of what I do, but I try and really keep them at the wayside.
You can tell you've done a good job of that. Like it not being, you're not like, they're not, their face is not, and their personality, like you said, you're not making them these personalities that like are a part of Naptime Kitchen. Although I will say I do love, and I will miss the theme of Alberta doing things. And then the damn, it feels good to be a gangster song because it's like,
I know.
So funny. Classic for that age. It's just so funny like to me every time.
Pouring Cheetos on the ground. Like,
yes. Fine.
Or just like, you know, they're just like laying there and someone's like feeding them a sippy cup and you're like, cool, must be nice to be you.
Yes.
The baby.
So. Start to make her way off of it.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but it's like, I don't know.
No.
Along the lines of you telling people what you do, if you were somewhere, like say you're at a Christmas party or something and someone's like, oh, like, what do you do for work? What do you tell them? Like you tell them you're a blogger. I mean, you don't like blogging.
I run a blog and Instagram.
Yeah.
The doctor's office is always the weirdest because I like never know what to put in the employment line. And then Nate was like, just put self-employed.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Thomas like, tells me to put CEO. So I always put CEO like at the pediatrician. I'm like there in my Bloomin' Jellies. And I'm like, I wonder if they're like, oh, what is she CEO of her? Like they probably are just like
her
CEO
household.
Of her house. Yeah.
Right.
But I do.
Which is not a lie.
Yeah. Love I just it. Put blog and Instagrammer. If somebody were to ask me out in public, I would say like, I run a blog and Instagram, which normally is like, oh, that's so cute.
That's cute.
I'm like, it's actually my family's business, but it is cute.
Rebecca, what else you got? Anything else?
Okay. Oh, I have one more. This time next year, what's one way you kind of hope Naptime Kitchen maybe looks different than it does right now? Less Alberta.
Sweet Alberta. I would love to get just a better handle on planning my content. I think that it would bless me to do that. It would like, I have the like energy. I have like a high energy level. I think you do as well, Rebecca. I feel like I've heard you say that, which is like a huge blessing. But like the curse is just like running ragged or like having anxiety spikes, especially like I really can't drink caffeine. And so I feel like that energy level allows me to like go hard for a while, but I would love to have just kind of a more even keeled so that I don't have these like dip spikes.
Yeah. Do you have like a set, do you have like work hours set? Or cause I think that's what's so hard is like your life is so integrated in your content or like, do you have boundaries set there?
I work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Nate works Tuesday, Thursday. And so that really allows me. And then like Saturday, Sunday, we're both like obviously parenting. And then we're both like usually done by like 3 o'clock. Cause that's when the kids are going to get home from school. And it's not perfect. Cause it's like, sometimes my content is going to be like what I'm like Pasta Monday. And so I need to have my phone out for like a minute or two to film that.
Right.
But that schedule has really, really helped us. So like Tuesday, Thursday, I am like 100% anything mom related, doctor's appointment, school pickups, anything like that is me. And that's really where most of my like content ideas are going to come from is that. If I was like sitting behind a computer all day, one would go crazy.
Right.
And two, like it's just not inspiring to what I do. Right. So, and there's still like a lot of like, but because we have 4 kids, like I might be working on a Monday, but there's like somebody needs a doctor's appointment and somebody needs to be picked up from school. And so it's still like very,
tag teamed,
flexible in terms of how the work days shake out. Yeah. But that's kind of how we've done it right now.
I love it. I think that's one of my favorite things to hear is like, how are people balancing it? Especially because like, I always have a hard time being like, do I work part-time? Do I work full-time? Because I'm like, it's not rocket science, it's my full-time job, but I work 15 to 20 hours a week because I can't, I always have a hard time being like, do I work part-time from home? Do I work full-time? I don't know.
Yeah. It's been kind of a hard identity shift for me because I think I found more identity than I realized in the fact that like my husband had a very demanding job and I had all of our, like this is still fairly new. So I had four children and was running Naptime Kitchen.
Right.
Alberta was like almost like, she was like 9 months old, I think, when Nate came home. And so I think a large part of my identity was like making all of that work. And so it really was a weird shift to be like, okay, well, that's not the case anymore. Like I do have, you know, and kind of towing that line between wanting people to know, like, I have help in these areas, but not being like, I have help in these areas, like not wanting to like rub that in, but make it, don't compare your, like some people are like, I don't understand how you're able to do what you do. And I'm like, well, my husband works with me. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. Like just, or, you know, maybe if your husband doesn't work with you being like, oh, well, I have a nanny 3 days a week. Like I don't, but I'm saying that could be somebody else's story and just being like, oh, okay, well, that's how it, you know, just those extra things. So that, but I also realized that I think in general, even if I wasn't doing this job, there would be an identity shift starting because my kids are starting to go to school like full time. And it is very different to be like, I have these young kids, we're going to do this play date, we're going to eat this for lunch versus like my kids are in school from 8:30 to 3:30. We're not doing play dates. They get home, they're going to do their homework. We might play in the yard for a little bit and then it's dinner time. Like, so even if I wasn't doing Naptime Kitchen, I think that that is like a motherhood shift that people go through of like, whoa, my kids are in school. What, like, what does that kind of mean? Like, what do I, some go back to work, you know, some pick up some hobby or whatnot. But I think that that's probably like just a life shift that we're like between two worlds right now because we have two in school and then like an 18-month-old. So it feels kind of like we're towing two worlds. But I guess what I'm saying is I don't think some of what I'm feeling is specific to my job. I think like it's the like identity of mother just shifts as our kids age and what that means. It's like you go from like caregiver to like taxi driver.
I think that's very, very true. Lauren and I are about, we're on the cusp of change with our oldest going to kindergarten and already being like, oh, like, we can't just like go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving any day we want. I mean, I guess we still could, but like, cause we have a school schedule now or even Lauren, we were talking about Mother's Day and you were with an older mom who, like when you're a mom of littles, all you want for Mother's Day is space and quiet. And then she was talking to a mom of bigs who was like, all I want for Mother's Day is for my kids to hang out with me like all day long.
All day connected to me. And I was like, oh, but she was like, but I remember being in your shoes where all you wanted was to go to Old Navy by yourself, like just separate.
It is. You're right. Like the identity of a mother changes so much with the ages of her children. And that's one reason I think it's so fun to follow you being, because my kids are more like your younger two. So you being like a little step ahead and seeing what's coming, it's fun. I really enjoy you as a person and as a spot on the internet. So I'm grateful for you.
I'll be interested to see how Naptime Kitchen like changes and grows as you move into different phases of motherhood, like you said, of just the schedules being changed and the kids being older. And it's cool being in similar seasons because like we're going to be going through that too. And like seeing it, you know, mirrored and be like, okay, like this is, we're all going through this together. So you feel less alone when you see it on the internet.
When you're like a grandma, will you be like brunch with Babs?
Oh my gosh. Sweet Babs.
A million Instagram followers.
She's got a great, I think it's her daughter, but I'm like, she pummels out content, but I'm like, somebody else is editing it for her. 100%. I cannot imagine that Babs is editing.
As content creators, when we see people who are able to put out content that much and that quickly and that efficient, like we're like,
there's a team behind there.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, Kate, this was awesome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, for just humbled tickled. That you would be here. We cannot wait for listeners to hear the behind the scenes of Naptime Kitchen, and that you would take some of your quiet working hours to be here with us is awesome.
Thanks. Thank you all for having me. This was great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, Business Bestie.